This is Wayne Zell, and welcome back to Power of Attorney Radio, where we're talking with Mr. Joe Caro, a member of the U.S. Coast Guard Office of Auxiliary and Boating Safety. And today we're going to talk about boating safety, but before we do, let me give you a little background on Joe. He retired from the U.S. Coast Guard as a chief boatswain's mate in August of 2002, and he served more than 24 years on active duty. His primary duties included maritime law enforcement, training, and search and rescue, and his last tour of duty was as an instructor at the Maritime Law Enforcement School down in Yorktown, Virginia, where he was a regulations subject matter specialist and senior instructor for the Marine Patrol Officer Course. He's had many assignments with the Coast Guard, and he became the recreational boating safety specialist and law enforcement liaison Marine Patrol Officer Course manager for the Office of Boating Safety. So if there's anybody that knows about boating safety, it's Joe Caro. And so welcome to the show, Joe.
Welcome. Glad to be here.
So we've heard about Operation Dry Water over the summer. Can you give us a recap of what Operation Dry Water is?
Sure. Operation Dry Water is a national campaign conducted across all 56 states and territories. And it's conducted on the weekend before the 4th of July to help reduce boating under the influence. All the state enforcement agencies, Coast Guard, get involved in it and are out there doing law enforcement boardings.
So how does it promote safety? How does this program promote safety?
Well, during the operation itself, they're not only checking to see if folks are boating under the influence, they're checking life jackets and all the required equipment on these vessels and helping out with, there's a public awareness campaign usually in the communities that these operations are happening at.
Okay. And give us an example of some of the things that, you know, if you have a boat, what are some of the things that you should be aware of? You should know this, but the listeners out there, what should they be aware of when they're riding on somebody else's boat? What are the minimum things that everybody should be having in order to ensure that they're complying with regulations and being safe boaters?
Probably the most important thing for all boaters is to always wear your life jacket while you're on a boat underway.
Even if you're a good swimmer?
Especially if you're a good swimmer.
Right.
Because the statistics, the facts, everything shows that it doesn't matter how good a swimmer you are, you should be wearing your life jacket. If you fall overboard unexpectedly, you may be hurt or injured,
right,
maybe unconscious. You're
right,
not going to be able to swim.
So wear your life jacket. What else?
That's
number one.
That's probably the most, that will help reduce the fatalities and do the most in boating safety. I suppose, you know, we're talking about not drinking and boating. Don't drink and boat.
So what you're saying is boating under the influence is a big problem, isn't it?
Yes. It's there. Drinking and boating, they, most folks think they go hand in hand. And the fact is they're, alcohol is the primary contributing factor to fatalities across boating. It's the highest number of fatalities from boating accidents occurs where alcohol is involved.
So DUI, everybody knows about driving under the influence. BUI, is it legal in any state?
Boating while intoxicated is illegal in all
50 states.
Yep, and the territories. We mentioned the territories and the District of Columbia, because we've got the states, the District of Columbia, and the territories, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, Samoa, same thing. The only thing that varies a little bit is that most of the states are at an 08 level. Some are still at a 10.
You know, you would think that that driving and having, you know, a few beers on the boat is not a big deal because it's open water and, you know, hey, we're out there enjoying the sun, we're having some fun. What makes BUI, boating under the influence, so dangerous?
It's always dangerous to be intoxicated and operate anything, especially a boat. You're out on the water, you've got sun glare that you mentioned, the pounding of the boat, there's stresses contribute to the increasing the effects of the alcohol,
mm-hmm,
and you have reduced reaction time, and on the water, on a boat at speed, you're not going to be able to operate that boat the way you need to.
And I understand that because of, you know, the nature of, you know, rolling on the water and, you know, when you're drinking and stuff, it not only impairs your reaction time, doesn't it cause you to get impaired more quickly than you would otherwise?
I don't know if you can say that it will get you impaired more quickly, but the effects of alcohol are intensified by these vibrations, noise, sun,
gotcha.
And you've got all of those on a boat.
So how does a boater avoid BUI?
Don't drink and boat.
There you go. Very simple. Are there any? Is there any information about the dangers of BUI? Where could we direct the listeners to look for some information on that?
Sure. We have a couple of great resources. The Operation Drywater website at operationdrywater.org. And if you go to the Coast Guard's Boating Safety homepage, and it's uscgboating.org, there is a couple of they're full of great links, great information, and you can look at the statistics and do some of your own comparisons there.
What are some of the statistics on BUI and death and other fatalities? Do you have any information for us on that?
Sure. For BUI, it's the primary contributing factor in boating accidents, contributing to 280 of the accidents. Not the highest number of accidents from that, but it accounts for the highest number of fatalities in these boating accidents, with 109 fatalities with alcohol as a primary contributing factor this past year.
That's a high percentage. That's a really high percentage. Now, BUI is a big issue, but what other safety issues should the listeners be aware of, and how does Operation Dry Water address those issues?
Well, you had mentioned earlier about some of the education and outreach that comes along with these officers that are participating in Operation Drywater. During the course of these operations, these officers, they're the same officers that are out there every day doing boating safety. And part of the message is you want to take a boating safety course. That'll give you all the basic information about running your boat. And it talks about float plans in there, if you will, if you're going from point A to point B and you want to let someone know that you're going to be home by 6, and if you're not, come look for you. That's a big part of those boating safety courses. The next thing would be to get a vessel safety check, where volunteers, both state, power squadrons, auxiliary, Coast Guard auxiliary, come down, check your boat for all the required equipment, and if you have it, they'll issue a decal that shows your boat's in compliance with all the equipment, and if you're missing some equipment, they'll tell you what it is and help you get it and show you how it works if you need to. The next thing is don't drink and boat.
Yep.
And then our final strongest point is always wear your life jacket.
Now, you mentioned a float plan. Is that something like a flight plan? Give us a little more information about
sure.
that.
Sure. A float plan is something that the operator of the vessel would fill out before they left on a piece of paper. We have a pamphlet of safety regulations and tips for recreational boaters. In that is an example of a float plan, but it basically says where you left from, where you're going to, how many people are aboard, what time you expect to be back. If you were going to a certain destination for fishing or swimming, you let somebody know where you're at and when you're coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And it expands that a little bit with if you have a radio on board, your cell phone number maybe, survival equipment, life jackets or a life raft you might have on board. That's all stuff you can include in a float plan.
Does a cell phone reach out into the water? I mean, can you actually get reception out into the water?
Some places.
In some places?
There's limited coverage with a cell phone on the water. And some of the interior waters, if you're on a lake or in the river in D.C., you're probably going to have pretty good cell coverage, but you're only going to get a hold of one person, whoever it is you're calling with that.
Right.
If you have a radio and you make a call with a radio, everybody that has a radio is going to hear you. And with our new, we have Rescue 21 system, which kind of gives coverage everywhere.
Okay.
And everybody will hear you on that radio. And if you've got what they call a DSC, digital select calling radio, all you have to do is push one button and it sends out a digital distress signal.
Awesome.
That's picked up by the Coast Guard. And if it's hooked to a GPS, it not only says, I'm in trouble.
Here's where I am.
Exactly. Here's where I am.
That's a valuable tool. So everybody really should have that if they're going to be doing boating.
That's an important piece. And we struggle with that because folks get these new radios, and all the new radios are DSC capable.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't hook them up to the GPS, which you should do if you can. And you want to register that radio and get what's called an MMSI number. So all that information is captured so that when you push that button, it not only says, here I am, I'm in trouble, but it gives your name, address, contact, phone numbers, the type of boat you have, et cetera.
So, Joe, we're talking with Joe Caro, and are you still with the Office of Auxiliary and Boating Safety?
Yes, sir.
At the U.S. Coast Guard. He's giving us some really valuable hints. You know, in the fall, boating tends to drop off. Not as many people are in the water. You know, people resume their fall and winter activities. Is it generally safer in the fall, or are there other safety issues that we should be aware of?
You're right. The number of boats on some waters does drop off a little bit. If you're on some of these northern lakes, there's the folks usually, there's a lot less boating traffic. But in the southern states, a lot of that traffic remains there. Depending on where you're boating, the temperature of the water drops off. And down in where we're at here in D.C. area in Virginia, the air temperature might still be nice, but the water temperature is getting cooler and cooler. And if you fall overboard, again, if you're not wearing a life jacket, that cold water is going to sap you of your energy pretty quick, and you're not going to be able to swim to shore or maybe even get yourself out of the water.
So you got to be really careful as the water temperature drops. Even though it's enticing to go out in the fall, you got to be very, very, very careful. You had mentioned that boaters can get educated by going to Operation Dry Water's website. There's also the Coast Guard Auxiliary and other things. Tell us a little bit more about where we can get educated if we are boaters or wannabe boaters. Where can we find out more information on all this stuff?
Sure. Depending on where you're from, whether you're from D.C., Virginia, Maryland, in this area, a great spot to start is either at our website, the Coast Guard's Boating Safety website, or go to your own state's boating safety website. There's a Marine Patrol unit in each of these states. In Virginia, it's a Game and Inland Fish. Maryland, it's a D.C. Harbor Patrol. In D.C., it's the Metro Police Department Water Patrol.
And okay.
In Maryland, it's Maryland DNR. They have a list of course providers that are right on their website. And there's the state folks teach these courses, the auxiliary, the power squadron, and there's online courses available from all kinds of providers. And after you take this boating safety course, you'll get a certificate, a little card that says you've taken this boating safety course. It's a NASBL-approved course, and that card is recognized nationwide so that if you go to another state that requires that card,
you can show it and then have the ability to boat on those waterways.
Yep. And they have reciprocity for these. And a lot of times, this is an important thing for folks that travel that want to, say, rent a personal watercraft, a jet ski.
Mm-hmm.
The requirement may be in some states to have that boating safety course.
I've had to do that. I had to. I did it in Maryland in Annapolis, and I wanted to rent a jet ski, and they made me take a boating safety course before I did it. So what you're saying is this could shortcut the process. If you have this boating safety card, you may not have to take the boating safety course every time you want to rent a jet ski or a boat or something like that.
That's right, sir. And they vary from state to state on the requirements for rentals and what the courses are. But if you check with your state boating agency, whatever state you're in, that information is all available on those websites.
Does the U.S. Coast Guard have jurisdiction over all of the inland waterways as well as the external waterways to the U.S.? And how do they interface with the states? That could be a whole nother discussion someday. But do you guys go and make the arrests on the Potomac River, or is that somebody else's jurisdiction?
It's the Potomac is generally a concurrent jurisdiction.
Ah.
So there's a lot going on the Potomac.
Sure.
The D.C. Harbor maintains everything up within the district. Going south, it's Maryland up to the border in Virginia. Then Virginia DNR takes it over, and we're everywhere up here. And we mostly, and you had mentioned about the internal waters, external. The jurisdictional limitations vary depending on where you're at. But generally on navigable waters of the U.S., there's Coast Guard and whatever state we may be in. And then there's what we refer to as waters completely within a state or sole state waters. Those are generally state-only jurisdiction, but not always.
We've been talking with Joe Caro. Joe, thank you so much for being a special guest on Power of Attorney Radio. And thanks for all your service for the U.S. and for all our boating friends out there. And remember, don't drink and boat, because that is a major source of accidents on our waterways.
That's right. I appreciate your time, and thank you very much.
Thank you. And tune in next week for another special guest and special topic on Power of Attorney Radio. I'm Wayne Zell. Have a great week.